Number 33, our second teacher this morning, I've known for longer than I've known Holly. Matter of fact, I've known him from, I guess, when he was about 2 hours old. And I was thinking this morning that when I was 12 years old, I had a sister that was 8 years old, and she died just sort of unexpectedly. She just got sick one day, and just 2 days later, she was dead. And she was my only sister and my parents' only daughter. We had three brothers and my sister, and she was this beautiful little 8-year-old blonde, wonderful little girl, and she just died. And it just devastated my family, especially my mother. My mother went into the most severe depression. A couple years later, she got pregnant. And she was 40 years old at the time, which back then was not that common. You know, today 90-year-old women have children, but back then it wasn't that common for a woman in her 40s to have a child. And my mother just sort of looked at it as a second opportunity to fill a void. And of course, she expected a girl, and she got a boy. And he was a wild boy. Boy, he was. He had so much energy. He had more energy than all of us in this room put together. But as I look back on it, that was part of the healing process for my family, because my mother needed that energy to just take her mind off of what had happened. And over the years, and you can't replace a child. If you ask my mother today, she's still very sad, and that's been over 40 years. And yet, when you look what my brother Brian brought to my family, and how much healing he brought to my family, and then you look at him today, what he does for our family, and I just look at him as a healer. You know, he's a guy that just, if you want a problem fixed, you put Brian in the middle of it. And I've just known that about him. And as he's grown up and become, sorry Brian, and become my brother in Christ, I'm just very, very thankful for him. So I can get it together. Let's sing number 33 before Brian comes up. Thank you. How do I follow that? What he didn't tell you was that he and his girlfriend used to push my stroller down the street just to shock people. He used to carry me like a football in his arm. Legs back here, arms here, head, like that. I'm too big to get away, for him to get away with that now. But. Anyway, thank you all for being here, and I wanted to thank Tom for the opportunity to share this podium. As Holly looked at, we looked at the love of God, and we're going to look at some more things about the love of God this morning. And I wanted to ask you a question. What distinguishes us as Christians? It's an interesting question, isn't it? In our private prayer life, it would be speaking in tongues, right? We can speak in tongues, right? We get born again, we have the ability to speak in tongues that manifest God's Holy Spirit. But what about in public? What about in the world? What does the world recognize in us that the world will recognize as that we are Christians? Not specifically as Christians, but disciples of Christ. Very good. Thank you. You guys are a good audience. Yeah, it's the love of God. Some things that it isn't. You might consider, oh, well, if I'm a mature believer, you know, maybe I heal people, right? Maybe I have signs, miracles, and wonders following. Those are great things, aren't they? We want to see those things happen, don't we? But we manifest God's Holy Spirit. That's available to us the moment we become born again, isn't it? Can we speak in tongues the moment we become born again? Yes, we can. Can we heal someone? Yes. It's a birthright. Okay. Holly just read 1 Corinthians 13. We have the ability to do all of these things. We can believe to remove mountains. But if we don't have the love of God, it doesn't avail anything. At least not in my life. If I have all the prosperity in the world, I've claimed what God's word says, and I've got prosperity, and I've got health, and I give all my money to feed the poor, I give all my money to bless the ministry that I'm a part of. If I don't have the love of God, there's something lacking there, isn't there? And my maturity in the word is lacking. These are the things that we do in the world that shows the world that, yes, we are God's disciples, that we are God's children, that we are believers. If you take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13. Yeah, it took a while for me to learn how to leave the cap off the toothpaste like Holly does. If we want to be mature Christians, it would behoove us to do the things as Christians, as Jesus Christ directed, wouldn't it? Right? That's a good thought. Maybe we should consult him. He is the Lord. He's the head, isn't he? He's the one that directs the body. So let's consider what he determines to be a disciple, what he determines one who's going to walk for him. In chapter 13... Verse 34, take my glasses off because I can't see the print. This is Jesus Christ speaking, and he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." There it is. You want to be a witness in the world? Do you want the world to see your life as being a disciple of Christ? Do you want to have this maturity in your life where that discipleship is apparent in your walk? Well, go out and heal everybody in India. No, that's not what it says, is it? Now, certainly healing is a great thing. It's part of the manifestations. We want to see that in our lives. You know, my believing may at times fall short, right? We all have challenges with that. We can admit that. If I don't get healed, I dare not lower the standard of the word to my condition. We don't look at our situation and say, well, maybe God didn't come through on this one. No, God always comes through. His word is always true.
His promises are always available for us to claim. And if our believing falls short, you know what? He still loves us. And our walk before God can be apparent to the world, even when we're challenged in these areas, because of the love that we have. Right? It's a great thing that God did for us. John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might what? Have everlasting life. See, God loved so we could believe. Now we believe and we can love. See how that all comes through? Again, this is what Jesus Christ says. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. All of those activities in 1 Corinthians 13 are not going to, at least for me, when I partake of those activities, they're not going to avail me as much as they should if I am not walking in love. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Holly read this, but I want to review it with you. Now, when we speak of the love of God, we're not speaking... There's different words in the Bible for love. I'm sure you guys all know this. This is pretty foundational stuff, right? There's phileo love. That's your friend. That's brotherly love. City of, you know, Philadelphia, that's the city of brotherly love. That's phileo. And then there's that other one that we don't need to get into. And then there's the love of God. And specifically what we're looking at this morning is the love of God, of course. And this love of God that's manifested in the world can only be manifested by those who are born of God. God gives us his nature. If I'm not born again, I can't. How can I manifest it? It's something that God gives when we're born again. Ephesians 5, you've turned there, and I haven't. But I have tabs on my Bible, so I can do it real quick. Actually, this is Rachel's Bible. I borrowed it from her, so. If I wind up reading the wrong verse, it's her fault. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And as Holly said, that word followers is what? Imitators. Be therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Children sometimes take on the characteristics of their parents, don't they? Is it true?
Yeah.
Is it true, Zach? They do. They have... Okay, two eyes, two ears, nose, mouth, whatever. But they may have blue eyes like their father does. Or, you know, maybe they've got 12 fingers like their mother. Right? These characteristics are carried on from the father to the child or the mother to the child, right? And this is similar to us. When we look at the love of God and we endeavor to have this love of God in our lives, we are imitating God. We're taking on the characteristic of our Heavenly Father, the love of God. Verse 2 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Okay, God loved, and now we walk in love with Christ as our example. Remember, he said, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples. This is how we show that mastery of who we are as Christians in the world. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Oh, but I want to go out and conquer the world. I want to go out and see signs, miracles, and wonders. Absolutely. That's what we want. We want to see signs, miracles, and wonders in our lives. But boy, if we don't have the love of God just rooted and settled in our hearts as we are endeavoring to go out and accomplish these things for God, what does it avail us? Well, what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? Says it doesn't avail us anything, does it? That's the example we've got. We imitate God by loving as Christ loved. We imitate our Father when we love. This can only be done by a Christian, as I said. Right? When I'm born again, then I can love as God loved, because I can take on the nature of my Father. He wasn't my Father till I got born again. Okay, so yeah, we believe. We believe God. We see God work in our lives. We go to God's word and we claim those promises. Believing isn't an end in of itself. If my believing is just some intellectual assent, if I just say, oh, yeah, there's God. I believe there is a God. Well, there's lots of people that do that, don't they? In fact, there's a verse in James that says that even the devils believe that there's a God. Look it up, James 2:19. It says, even the devils believe that there is a God, and they tremble. They tremble at the thought of God, but they still believe there's a God. Okay? Believing is a magnificent thing. We want to believe. We want to believe all of God's word. We endeavor every day to claim those promises in God's word. But we don't ever want to lose sight of the fact that we can believe because God loved us. If I'm having trouble believing something, maybe what I need to do is take a step back and go, okay, does God love me enough to bring this promise to pass in my life? And sometimes that's all we need to get over that hump. If I need to be healed and I can't believe that God loves me enough to heal me, then I have another problem. It's not just that my leg is broken, okay? My believing is short because I'm not convinced that God loves me. We don't just assent. We don't just decide, oh yeah, okay, God, I believe that. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Once again, if I have all power to remove mountains, and I don't have the love of God, it profits me what? Nothing. Galatians 5, verse 5 says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. Now when we if we lived back in the days of the Old Testament, circumcision was like, that was Psych 101, wasn't it? That was foundational. The first thing that happened to you when you were born, you know, almost immediately, that was like the first thing your parents would do is, well, if you were a boy anyway, is take you in and get you circumcised. Because that was the promise, you know, through Abraham. We're not going to get into all that. But here, we've got a new commandment in the Word. It says, circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. It's not just about circumcision, it's all our works. My works don't accomplish salvation. And the key to this verse, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith which worketh by love availeth. You can add that word. But faith which works by love. I want to read you this verse in the NIV because I think it will show you a little bit more about what the verse is saying. Verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That is the only thing that counts. If I'm going to believe God, I've got to be mindful of the love of God. I have to make sure that my believing isn't just something that I'm just doing unto myself. There's a reason for it. What was God's motivation for doing what he did? He loved, right? Well, why would I set about believing God's word if I don't love God and if I don't love his people? It might do something for me, you know. Yeah, I can get healed. Great thing, isn't it? I can get prosperity in my life. I can claim all the things in the word. And yet the word still says that if the love of God is absent from all of that believing, it avails, it doesn't avail me anything. It profits me nothing. See how magnificent this love of God is? It's there for us whenever we want to go to God and recognize our Father. We could move mountains by our believing. Without love, it avails nothing to me. God so loved so we could believe, and we believe so we can love. Kind of like a sandwich, isn't it? This is the way God's love is revealed to the world. It's revealed through us. Remember what Jesus Christ said? The world will know we are His disciples by what? By our love. And it's not just our love. It's not just that we go sit in a pasture someplace with flowers in our hair and say, peace, love, right? No. It's the love that we have for one another. Oh, but there's somebody that I'm not so sure about. You don't know what this guy did to me. Yeah, but he's in the body of Christ. Yeah, well, okay, but he's kind of screwed up. Well, you're still supposed to love him, aren't you? See? How are you going to help him if he needs help? Does he need help? Oh, I don't know about that. He's just a jerk. Wait a minute. He needs help. Okay. I'll love him. No, we don't do it half-heartedly. What if Jesus Christ did what he did half-heartedly? All right. Put me on the cross. No, that's not it. There is a total giving of oneself in this love of God. There is a sacrifice involved. There was for God, there was for Jesus Christ. Our lives are to be a sweet-smelling savor, just like Jesus Christ was. That takes more than just a half-hearted approach to it. That takes more than just, well, I know the Word says this, so I'm going to do it. That's not even believing, let alone the love of God. You want maturity in your life, you love with the love of God. All the other works that we can do, all the other activities, all the believing, all of the whatever, again, it profits me nothing if I'm short in this category. So what does this mean? What does it mean? We know why it's important now, don't we? We've seen what it does for us. We've seen what it does for the world. But okay, how do I do this? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to love with the love of God? How do we love as Christ loved? Well, we've got to imitate what Christ did. We've got to be imitators of God, and we have to love as Christ loved. Why don't we look at an example of that? There's a parable in Mark chapter 12 that will give a little more light on what this means. Boy, we're all each other's God. Well, we've got two options if we want to fellowship with each other. Either we all walk perfectly. You want to try that? Let's try it, all right? For the next month, let's all walk perfectly. And we'll all get along with each other, and we'll do everything perfectly. And people are going to get healed, and all kinds of magnificent things are going to happen, and nobody's going to get mad at each other. Who wants to try that? A few of you do. That's good. I think reality strikes us, though, and we say, well, maybe that's not going to happen, right? So if we can't walk perfectly, then what alternative do we have? Well, we have to love one another. I make mistakes. I screw up. Holly made a great point about that. It's like a marriage. How's that marriage going to survive if, boy, after the first 6 months, you're all mad at each other and you say, why did I even do this? You know, I could have been off taking pictures for National Geographic in India. Why am I stuck with you? Yeah, honeymoon's over. Well, it takes the love of God. And it takes the love of God for us to stand together in this body. Because we have to put up with each other. But it's more than just putting up with each other. We have to recognize what sacrifice has been given. Mark chapter 12 gives a great example of what God did. Chapter 12, verse 1. That's Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "He then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower." So he's got a little business going here, doesn't he? "Then he rented the vineyard." I'm sorry, I'm reading the NIV. Let's start in the King James Version. It's Rachel's fault. King James, chapter 12, verse 1. "And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country." Okay, so he started a business again, didn't he? He's got two businesses going. And at the season, he sent to the husbandmen a servant that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard." Okay, that's an honest thing, isn't it? You build a company, and you put some people in charge of it, and that time comes where they've produced whatever it is they're going to produce in the company, and you write them and say, "Okay, send me the profits. You know, send me what you've produced." Well, what does the husbandman do? "The servant that this man sent to collect these profits, the husbandman," verse 3, "caught him and beat him and sent him away empty." Not a very good employee, is he? Verse 4, "And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head," specifically in the head, "and sent him away shamefully handled." I don't know what that means to be shamefully handled, but I don't think I would want to have it happen to me. So the owner of the vineyard has sent a couple guys out trying to get some of his fruits of his vineyard back, and the people that are working for him are being pretty rude to his servants, aren't they? Verse 5, "And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some." So these guys are just getting worse and worse by the day. Everybody he's sent's been beat up, and now some of them have been killed. Verse 6, "Having yet therefore one son," the man who owned the vineyard had one son, "his well-beloved. He sent him also last unto them, saying, well, they will reverence my son." Verse 7, "But those husbandmen said amongst themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours." I think you all know what this is starting to talk about, don't you? Verse 8, "And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Why is it marvelous? Because God loves so much that he sent his son. All right, we're talking about God in this parable. Verse 12, he's speaking again to the Pharisees, it says, "And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way." This is the example of the love of God. God sent his only begotten son to a group of people who loved him so much that they gave him riches, they gave him a good job, they made him the CEO of their corporation. Right? Isn't that what he did? No, that's not what happened, is it? Y'all can say it. No, they didn't do that. Okay? No. God sent his son to a group of people that hated his son. They had him killed. That's significant. You beginning to understand what kind of sacrifice it takes to love with the love of God? This is more than just being a buddy. This is more than just scratching somebody on the back and saying, "Have a great day, brother." There's a sacrifice involved. There is a devotion involved. There is a commitment involved. And that doesn't happen on the first day. I mean, it can, but for many people it doesn't. Sometimes we have to learn who Jesus Christ is. Sometimes it takes a little time in the Word to begin to understand what it takes to have the patience to love like this, to have the willingness to put up with all the garbage that we have to put up with in the world. And there's a lot of it. There is for me anyway. I don't know about you guys, but boy, we've got to be willing to love each other this way. Boy, if we can't love each other, how are we going to love the world? And yes, that is part of the love of God. For God so loved what? Well, Jesus Christ isn't the only one that was placed in a area that hated him. I think it says somewhere in John, doesn't it, that because of who we are in Christ, the world's going to hate us? Yeah, it does. So we're also in an environment that is less than friendly to us. And yet in the midst of all of that, what are we to do? We are to love. We are to love with the love of God. There is a sacrifice involved. Boy, we learn it here in this fellowship, in your home fellowships, in your home with your families. You kids that are going to teen camp, well, you're going to have a great example this week to walk in love towards one another. Think about it. You're going to be with people who hopefully are going to love you back. Good place to practice this, isn't it? The world's going to know we are Jesus Christ's disciples by the love that we have for one another. This takes some maturity. This makes us disciples. This doesn't just come by, hey, I feel good today, so I'll be nice to somebody. No. It's not based on my feelings. It's based on my recognizing just how seriously in the soup I was and how much God did to save me from that. God sent his son to people who hated him and killed him. Now that's the love of God. That is love. That's love. I don't think I could have done that. Kill me first, please. Go to 1 John. A couple more verses here that Holly touched on. 1 John 4. First John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Is that King James, Rachel? Okay. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Okay, verse 7 again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You cannot love with the love of God without being born of God. It's prerequisite. This is how God showed his love unto us. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He sent him into a world that hated him. This is love, not that we loved God. You look in the scriptures sometime and see how many times God thanks man for loving God. You won't find it. You look in the epistles and see how many times when Paul is talking to the people that he's writing to and he says, I thank God for your love. I thank God for your faith. You don't ever see Paul saying, thank you for loving God. See, God is the source of love. God is the source of faith. God is the source of all the things that make us who we are in Christ. And God doesn't thank us for loving him. God directs us to love one another. God never commends man for that. It's always, I thank God for your faith. I thank God that you love. Because Paul knew who the source of that love was. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That's the love. Verse 12, we haven't seen God, but we've seen each other. Let's read it. Verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Do you want to see God's love perfected in you? It's not about It's not about me spending my time saying, God, thank you. God, I love you. No, that's easy to do. It's easy to love God. The challenge is loving one another sometimes, isn't it? It is. Bounce down to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he did what? First loved us. That's right. I want to read these verses to you in the NIV because I think they're significant. Verse 15, this is NIV, so if you don't want to follow along, you don't have to. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. How are we like Jesus Christ? What's the context talking about? The love of God. So many times, maybe not so much anymore, but you talk to a believer and say, how you doing, brother? Oh, as he is. Really? Are you walking in love? That's as he is. It's not some state of being where, oh yeah, I'm clicking. I got all my celestial orbs in line. Okay. That's not it. As he is, so are we in this world. Because God first loved us, and now we can love one another. Verse 17, in this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And let's flip to 1 Peter. We'll close in 1 Peter. So above all, it's faith which works by love that avails, isn't it? Above all. Here's another verse. Verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Have fervent charity with the man down the street. Well, yes. But specifically, this is talking about have fervent charity. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 4:8. First Peter 4:8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. Fervent. This word fervent is white hot. That's what the word fervent means. Have white hot love of God. And that doesn't sound like it should, but that's what it means. Among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And you know what? I thank God that verse is there because I need my sins covered. Some of you know me, have known me for a while. I've got plenty of them. It takes about 5 minutes for somebody to spend with me to realize, oh yeah, he's got a few sins. But thank God we've got the love of God, because the love of God covers a multitude of sins. This isn't a hypocritical thing. You know, we don't just come to church fellowship, Thursday evening fellowship. We've got the big smile on and we're all happy to see you. We do it for a couple hours. God bless, God bless, God bless. And then we go home and we're throwing kitchen utensils at each other. That's not it. This is something that should be an ever permeating thing in our lives. Every day, we walk in love towards one another. We bear each other's burdens. We cover each other with the love of God. My sins may be revealed. stick around. We all make mistakes. We're all going to screw up. We all have problems. We all have things that we fall short of. So go find a perfect fellowship. If you don't like that, go find a perfect fellowship. Go find a group of people that walk perfectly, that make no mistakes, and be a part of that fellowship. You're not going to find it. So we've got to go with option B, which frankly is the better of the two options. Because if everybody was perfect, then why would we need to love them? I mean, really. It's a great opportunity for us. We want to be mature. We want to have this love of God in our lives. Boy, then we cover each other's sins. We look out for one another. We take care of one another. We forget about whatever got screwed up 6 months ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. Man, that's baggage we do not need to carry. God loved so we could believe. And now we believe God's word so we can do what? So we can love. Otherwise, what does it avail? What has it done for me? What has it done for you? Yeah. It blesses you, I know, when I manifest God's word to your life. But man, I want to be a part of that. I want to enjoy that. And the way we enjoy it with one another is the love of God. I could be laying on my deathbed. I could still love you with the love of God. Isn't that magnificent? That's a big deal. So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you today for all that you have done to bless our lives. Just as when we break bread together, we can remember the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. We remember his broken body and his shed blood. Boy, we can remember every day in our lives the love that it took to accomplish that for us in our lives. And that's something that we truly can give to one another. You so loved that you gave your only begotten Son, and now we can also love and we can give of what you are, and that's love. So thank you, Father, for how you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you all to open your eyes and look around the room for a minute. Specifically, look at who's immediately around you. Okay? If you don't know somebody, say, hey, how you doing? My name's Joe. Of course, if your name isn't Joe, you don't want to say that. Okay? Got a good sense of who's around you now? All right, close your eyes and pray for those people who you just looked at. See, this is the love of God. We're manifesting it right now in this room just by praying for each other. Isn't that significant? Pray for the folks that are working in children's fellowship. Thank God for their lives. Thank God for the children in that fellowship. We got a bunch that's going to be traveling today. We've got folks that are already in Pennsylvania. We got a week coming up for these teens. Pray for the teens. Pray for the fellowships there. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the workers. Pray for a great week. Specifically, let's pray for safe travels. This is the love of God. And last, but obviously not least, pray for yourself. What are we singing, Ken?
Let's close with number 69. Close with number 69, Redeemed, and we're going to stand and sing it.